God's words alone be spoken. May God's words alone be heard. Amen. Amen. It's so good to be back. I missed y'all. I did. And I thank David and Bill and the staff for keeping the light on, so to say. Now, as for me, I spent part of my time on Cape Cod. And one of the things I experienced while on the Cape was a whale watch. My friend and I were staying in Provincetown on the very end of the Cape, and it's a great place to go on a whale watching trip. Now, I've been on half a dozen of these things, and they're always enjoyable, though seeing whales is kind of always a crapshoot, you know? So on this trip, I warned Jane, my traveling companion, who had never been on one, much less to P-Town, as it's called, that it's fun, and that even if we don't see too much, well, the boat ride is worth it. So out we went, past the tip of the Cape, with all the lighthouses and sailboats. It's absolutely a stunning landscape, out into the ocean to see whales. Now, the first was far off the starboard side of the boat. It was a minke. It's a little whale. And you could just see her back arching out of the water. Still, I thought, at least we saw one, you know? And then after a while, we started to see spouts of water, first from very far off, and then even more closer. Though we couldn't see the whales, we knew they were there. Then all of a sudden, there were several humpbacks right in front of us. And I mean right in front of us, just a few feet away. And one of them lifted her head out of the water in a feeding movement known as lunging. It was amazing. And the next thing we know, the boat was surrounded, whales everywhere, below us, on either side, in front of us, in the distance, everywhere. Even the operator of the boat seemed surprised by how many were popping up all around. After a few photos, I put my iPhone back in my pocket and just took it all in the rest of the trip. And I kept saying to Jane, this doesn't happen all every time, you know. Seriously. Now, I thought about this when I was reading the text for this week, that old familiar passage from the Epistle to the Hebrews we read this morning that said, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Because the thing is, I sure was hoping to see some whales, but even if I didn't, I knew they were there. Seeing them was incredible. But going on a whale watch was not the reason I knew they were there. I learned about them in school, and I think if you just ask about anybody if whales exist, they'll say yes. Well, if they're knowledgeable, they'll say yes, but for our own disgraceful hunting of them in days gone by, they almost ceased to. And if you ask them if they've seen one up close in the wild, most will probably say no. Right? How many of you know whales exist? This is a good thing. How many of you have seen one up close in the wild? The rest of you know they're there, right? Now, when I was growing up, we had the Jacques Cousteau specials. Y'all remember those? I love those. And that opened us up to this vast expanse of oceans and so much of the life that we can't see unless they make themselves known. Not just whales, by the way, just all sorts of creatures and plant life. It's all there. We know it's there, but it's all hidden in the depths of the water. It's said that there's still some part of creation we have never, ever seen. Creatures living in water so deep, it's beyond our reach. Now, I wasn't meaning for this sermon to be a big fish story, but it all seems to resonate with what we hear in the scripture readings this morning. In the gospel, Jesus was trying to prepare his followers for the day when their life with him will be changed. He's nearing Jerusalem and the cross. And he tells them, make purses for yourself that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Apparently, today is the Sunday day when we should have the scriptures that are most cross-stitched into pillows. Anyway, what the heck is he getting at?
Now, I know this is a great one to preach around stewardship to the church, but I think that misses the point. I want to focus here on the usually forgotten part about purses. Make purses for yourself that do not wear out. Now consider what Jesus wanted for them to be able to continue the work he started. What kind of purse could he be talking about? When he also adds that bit about selling possessions and giving alms, I mean, there'd be nothing in it, so what's the point? And I hope he doesn't mean a real purse, because if you know me, you know I rarely, if ever, carry a purse. I am not a purse-carrying gal. Now, it isn't a real one, but it does mean something else. And one way to think of it is us. We are the purses. We're also the house and the servants, ourselves, our bodies, our minds, our spirits. And he's telling us that we need to prepare ourselves and live the life we're meant to live. And if we can't do that, if we run ourselves into the ground, and folks, we are one worn-out society. Some people are working two or three jobs just to make ends meet. And many are overworking themselves because corporate culture makes it a sin to not arrive early or leave late. Compounding that is the 7x24 nature of smartphones. It seems that if you have a smartphone, people think it's okay to call or text, no matter if it's during work hours, urgent or not. Now that would be fine because you can and should ignore it, except when a text comes in at 2 a.m, wakes you and your spouse up because, well, somebody had an idea at 2 a.m, decided a text would be less intrusive. I kid you not, I know people this has happened to. And maybe it's happened to you. Worse is that we often do this to ourselves by actually responding on our days off. And I'm an offender on this one. Essentially, we're making an immediate response expected the next time it happens. I mean, the funny thing is, at coffee hour a few weeks ago, a parishioner was sharing that his daughter had gotten a job as a lifeguard at a local pool. And on the first day, she was nervous about it. And I thought, oh, well, that makes sense. I mean, you've got everyone's lives in your hands. He goes, no. She had a lot of anxiety because she wouldn't be able to take her phone up into the chair for the time that she was sitting in it. You know, I can see it now. You're drowning, right? You're like, help, help, and the person's down like this. Jesus talks about slaves in this gospel, and many today have become slaves too, to devices and to jobs. And the result? We are tired, and we're in need of rest. The purse we have become has been robbed by the thief of time, lost to our jobs, ridden with the holes by the moths of neglect to our loved ones, our body, and our spirit. We need Sabbath rest, and we can find that here, right? But we also have to set boundaries on our work. Put away the phones and pay attention to those we love and to the world around us. Because doing all of that will make us better able to do the work in the first place. And to be clear, I'm not talking about our secular jobs, but our life work. The life work God created us to do, the life work that the prophet was speaking of in Isaiah that we heard this morning. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. And the prophet is calling us today to step boldly forward and do our life work. Work so very much needed in this world. To stand for the marginalized and the oppressed. To care for the poor, the sick, and the forgotten. And we can't do that if we ourselves are depleted. If our purses are worn too thin. That's why vacations are so important. And why we're in this season of vacations, right? The summer? It's also why coming here is important. We're nurtured in the Eucharist and in one another. And I think that's also what makes Vacation Bible School so important too. And ours, which we call Day Camp, starts tomorrow. In fact, we have our Day Camp leaders here in the church today. And we'll hear more from them. See, how many of you attended Vacation Bible School when you were a kid? Right? If you didn't, you really missed out. It's just so much fun because in that week, The kids learn about Jesus and God in the context of play. Heck, I think we should all have day camp. There ought to be day camp for adults, don't you think? I think so. Pack a little peanut butter and jelly and smush it down, right? And because if you're not having fun at this faith stuff, then something is really wrong. I don't mean that faith is to be taken lightly, but doggone it all, if we can't feel lightened in worship, if we can't get some joy or even a laugh or two out of fellowship together, then we're doing it wrong. There's so much, far too much out in the world for us to be serious about. We need this place to refresh and renew our souls, to make strong our purse, and then bring that joy and love out into the world that's so much in need of it. This should be a place you want to come to all the time. And here's the kicker, folks. When we're refreshed spiritually and physically, we're better able to step out into the world to do our life work. And when we do, then we will come to see that the author of Hebrews was wrong, or at least partially. See, we believe that there's a world of life under the surface of the ocean, and perhaps in our own lives we have experienced some of that, right? As we've plunged into the waters, maybe going down to the Jersey Shore or something. But the rest of that knowledge of marine life is a conviction of things not seen for most of us. And when it comes to God, we don't have to dive into very deep theological discourses, but we do need to just jump in, or at least get in the boat. Because when we do, we will see God everywhere, surrounding us like those whales. Why? Because God's in all the creation, just waiting to be seen, in each of us too. And our baptism, you know, it got us part of the way there. But we have to embrace the water a bit more. We need to break the surface of the water so that we can live our faith here and then out in the world beyond. And when we do, when we dive in, when we do our life work, we see Christ. The Christ in the homeless woman. The Christ in the trans teenager. The Christ in the black man being pulled over. The Christ in the police officer. The Christ in the immigrant and the stranger. The Christ in the person on the other side of the political aisle, too. Then faith in God is not conviction in what is not seen for us. But for many, still in the deepest depths of our dark world, the depths of despair, grief, loneliness, depression, addiction, and oppression, it's still something hoped for. God is present with them, and no less way than God is for us. Yet the darkness of the deep has enveloped them to a point where they no longer see not only God, but themselves as people loved beyond measure. So deep that unless we dive in to look for them, we won't see them either. For them, the faith that God loves them is something hoped for, not seen. That's why our life work is so very important. That's why we must never, ever forget who we are and what life is about. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. That's the life we were meant to live. And that's the work we're called to do. And that's the reason to build a strong purse. But Jesus, I want to be clear, Jesus is also making another point here too, that time is a funny thing. We think we have a lot of it, but we never really know when it will all have run its course. We think we can spend more time with the family or go on that longed-for trip or volunteer at the church or for a local charity, but after this big project or that important deadline. But the truth is, and we all know it, that there's always another project, always another deadline that follows the ones in front of us, right? Eventually, we come to understand the words of one of my favorite philosophers, the great Dr. Seuss. How did it get so late so soon? It's night before it's afternoon. December is here before it's June. My goodness, how the time has flown. How did it get so late so soon? Now, it's been said that no one ever says at the end of their life, I wish I had spent more time in the office. Right? Now, if we have regrets, it's quite the opposite. Usually, you hear, I wish I had spent more time with my family. I wish I had traveled more. I wish I had done some good for humanity and the world. Summer's a good time for taking stock of our lives. The purse we have built up, the things we hope for, the people and places unseen. It's a time for rest, renewal, and repurpose, so that we can, in the years we are given, use our lives in a way that enriches others, ourselves, and the world far more than it does the corporations and the banks. So that our treasure and our heart are one and the same. So that our purses are strong and we can live the life we were meant to live in the time that we have so beautiful. And so it comes in a way that I was thinking about these words as I was thinking about this. You know, when we build our lives and our purses strong and we live this life, one of the things that we can use as a guiding principle is something that's near and dear to the heart of my Methodist brothers and sisters. This is what happens when you go to a Methodist seminary, by the way. And we've seen this a lot in the news lately. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. And to that I add, if you do this, then your faith is something hoped for by the world, the conviction of God's love seen in you. Amen.